This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nastahdihi. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله العظيم من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح للأمة وكشف الغمة وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فعليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين وأوصيكم نفسي بتقوى الله وقد أمرنا بالحق وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم أما بعد We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for Him. And we ask Him to send His peace and blessings upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His family, His companions, and those that follow until the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, last week in my khutbah, which was the first khutbah, I spoke about the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was ascending the manbar, as he was ascending the pulpit, he said Ameen three times with each step. And Rasulullah informed the Sahaba that Jibreel alayhi salam was there and that Jibreel alayhi salam was making a dua. And Jibreel alayhi salam says, Raghima anfu, may his nose be stuffed into the dirt. Khaba wa khasr, he has completely failed and lost. And he made dua against three particular people. The one upon whom Ramadan comes and goes and he's not forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Ramadan is a month that contains within it so much mercy and so much forgiveness that there is no way that you could be even half a decent Muslim and Ramadan comes upon you and leaves you except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive you. And so if a person manages to miss the rahmah of the Most Merciful in general, the mercy of the Most Merciful, even outside of the month of Ramadan, you know, Allah is so merciful that if you manage to find yourself in an unfavorable position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to do something extremely bad. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرْ مَنْ خَرَجَ عَنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ الَّتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Said, you know, truly a person has failed and lost in life when they've managed to find themselves outside of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that encompasses all things. Allah's mercy is so all-encompassing that how can you possibly find yourself not qualifying for His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala? And add on top of that, one of the nafahat, one of the seasons of mercy that Allah sends, Ramadan in particular, where Allah is even more merciful and, you know, multiplies your rewards even more, and you still manage to not be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the one who hears his name and does not invoke salawat upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's very common now when you hear people talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they'll say the Prophet, that they'll say Muhammad, without saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's a sign of a very arrogant person and a person who's ungrateful to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for all that he did for him. This man almost died for you on several occasions. This man bled, he sweat, he cried constantly for your sake. And you don't even have the decency to fulfill that the smallest right that he has upon you, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is at least to pray for him, at least to thank him by sending salawat upon him. And it should be natural that the believer automatically is pushed towards doing that, to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then thirdly, the one whose parents reach old age in his lifetime, and he doesn't enter Jannah by one or both of them. Meaning what? You know, if your parents have reached old age in your lifetime, that means that you are also old enough to recognize the favor that they have upon you and all that they've done for you. So at least you would have the decency to treat them well in those moments and to appreciate that now that you yourself are being thrusted into a similar role. Now, if you look at those three things, and this is the transition into today's topic, all three of those things involve more of not doing something. Okay, or disqualifying yourself from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it's so easy to achieve. And that's the point when we're talking about Ramadan and we're talking about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeks to bring out of us. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba 'alal ladina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. That fasting was prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those who came before you so that you could gain a sense of taqwa. Taqwa teaches us something very, very important here. That God consciousness and that piety is not about praying more. It's not about reading more Qur'an. It's not about doing more good deeds. As Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala said, taqwa is not praying long into the night or fasting long into the day, but instead it's abandoning that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything beyond that is ihsan. Anything beyond that is excellence. And to have ihsan without taqwa is impossible. Right? Taqwa is tark al-ma'asi, abandoning the things that will serve as a barrier between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ihsan is going beyond that. Taqwa is to acknowledge the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Ihsan is to do taqdeer of it. Ihsan is to honor the sight of Allah upon you. So taqwa is that you at least have the decency, knowing that Allah is watching you, not to do anything that's going to be not only disobedient, but disrespectful. Ihsan is when you've already passed that stage. You know Allah is watching you, and you have the decency not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He's watching you. But now you take it a step further, and you honor the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, so you embellish your reputation. You show more into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of love and of salah and of reading Qur'an and so on and so forth. Now, why is this so crucial when we're understanding our ibadat in particular? Because there isn't a single ibadah or good deed except that Allah or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there is a way to completely devoid it of all blessings. One of the first warnings in the Qur'an did not come to the kuffar, did not come to the disbelievers or the munafiqeen. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe to those who pray. Think about that. Woe to those who pray. Allah warns those who pray. Early on in the revelation, Allah Azza wa Jal sends a stern warning to people who do salah. Right? Aside from all the warnings to the people that are burying their daughters alive, the people that are committing adultery, the people that are committing injustice, the people that are committing shirk, there is a warning to people who pray. Why? الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ People that show off with their prayer. You've managed to take something that is meant to be your wisala, your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salah comes from sila, it's a connection. What's meant to be a connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's meant to be the ultimate determining factor for whether or not you would enter Jannah or Nar, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. It's meant to be the main connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you manage to take something so beautiful and spoil it by making it more about your reputation and how people view you. Salah was supposed to be a connection between you and Allah. You turned it into a way to gain reputation and to gain the respect of the people. And so you show up in the masjid not because Allah Azza wa Jal called you to do so. Not because إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Run to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You show up to Jum'ah because you don't want people to say, hey, how come you don't go to Jum'ah? And not only that, you might even come really, really, really early. Not because you want to get the reward of coming early, but you don't want people to say, hey, you've been coming to Jum'ah late. You don't go to Isha Salah because Isha, if you pray Isha and Jama'ah, it's like you've prayed half the night. And Fajr, it's like you've prayed the other half of the night, completing the night in Qiyamul Layl. You don't go there because of that. You go there so that you can enjoy the social gathering and so that people can say, MashaAllah, he showed up to Isha. You know, Taraweeh, it's only natural. You're supposed to be at Taraweeh, you're supposed to be at Isha. You took an institution that's so beautiful, and that is the crux of this religion. As the Prophet ﷺ says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي دِينٍ لَا رُكُوعَ فِيهَا There's no good in a religion without rukur, without salah in it. You managed to take that and turn it into something ugly. Instead of making it a connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you made it a means of Allah waging war on you. Because you weren't doing it for His sake. Because when Allah says wail to you, when Allah warns you and threatens you in the Qur'an, He threatens you for good reason. It's not a means of you gaining reputation. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the hypocrites find Fajr and Isha most difficult. It wasn't because of the sleep schedule. It was because back in the day when you went to Fajr and Isha, no one would see you. Okay? So the hypocrites would show up to Dhuhr, Asr, and Maghrib because they'd get that reputation, they'd get the points with the people by showing up to those salah, and they wouldn't even bother coming to Fajr and Isha because who's going to be at Fajr and Isha anyway? So Allah Azza wa Jal talks about a beautiful institution of salah, the most important institution of your religion, and you manage to mess it up. When Allah Azza wa Jal talks about Al-Hajj, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ Don't argue, don't fight, don't become foolish, don't become silly, don't reduce yourself and reduce the institution of Hajj by bringing your ego to a place that you are supposed to come begging for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. In absolute humility. You come stripped of your clothes only in your ihram, but you still bring your ego and your bad manners with you to Hajj. Allah doesn't want that Hajj. Turn back away with it. Don't even bother taking your clothes off and putting ihram on and putting those two towels on. Because the ego, the veil, the spiritual veils that you have are far more destructive than those clothes. That ego and those bad manners you bring to Hajj. Allah doesn't even want to see you in Hajj if you're going to bring that attitude to it. You could actually end up coming to Hajj and doing more harm than good. If you're going to go there and start yelling and screaming and fighting and complaining about the food and complaining about the hotels and so on and so forth. Just turn back away then. Right? And then you talk about al-siyam, fasting. When the Prophet ﷺ says, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ مِنْكُمْ وَالْعَمَلُ بِهِ Whoever does not leave foolish speech, idle speech, whoever doesn't leave their bad behavior behind and acting upon that foolish speech, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةً بِأَنْ يَدَعْ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ Allah Azza wa Jal is not interested in you leaving your food and your drink. Fasting is meant to achieve something different from you. It's not about, you know, think about it. In Hajj, you don't find the Prophet ﷺ talking about how much tawaf you made. Or how, you know, how long you stood up and did this dua or that dua. Instead, لا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج. Likewise in fasting, you don't find a single command from the Prophet ﷺ that stipulates a number of rak'ahs to pray at night, a number of khitmas to do, right? How many times you're supposed to read the Qur'an. You don't find all that. Just don't mess it up. Literally, the message is, don't mess it up. And we find an authentic hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala from Ubayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu and also Salama and Zainab that there were two women in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that complained that their stomachs were hurting and that they needed to vomit and it was a day of fasting. They had nothing in their system. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went to the, you know, when the message came to him about these two women, he said, take two bowls and put those bowls in front of them and tell them to just go ahead and vomit. And when those two bowls were placed in front of them, they actually started to vomit human meat. Not lamb or sheep or camel. Human meat. And the people were absolutely disgusted. Including obviously first and foremost those two women. And Allah Azza wa Jal decided to send a message to the ummah through those two women. So this must not have been some ordinary backbiting. This must have been some serious backbiting. And the Prophet ﷺ says, these two have taken their share of haram while abandoning that which was halal. They filled themselves with that which is haram and they abandoned that which was halal. What does Allah want with that? What does Allah want with that siyam, with that form of fasting? And then when it comes to the institution of charity, just supposed to be a means of purifying your wealth. And instead, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Oh, you who believe, don't void your charity. Don't ruin your charity by boasting and by harming the people that you're giving charity to. You give them such an attitude when you give charity, you've completely taken the barakah out of that charity. You don't give it like a humble servant that's pleased that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in a position where they could give for their own sake. Instead, you see yourself as the ultimate giver, rather than the means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. You see yourself in that capacity. So you boast and you brag with your charity, with your sadaqah and everything else that you do. I've been serving this community for 10 years. Guess what? By your one sentence, you might have just voided that 10 years. I've been doing this, I've done that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could strip all of the barakah away from that. By your boasting, by your bragging. I've been here and I founded this masjid and I founded this Islamic school and I was there when no one else was there. And 40 years ago when the entire ummah was sleeping, I was the one that came and said, hey guys, we need to establish organizations. Then Isna, Ikna, Mass, all of them were established because of me. Save it. Just keep it to yourself at that point. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't want to hear your boasting. Keep it to yourself. Where is the humility? Number one, that's an exaggeration. Number two, where is your humility? Where is your humility? Where is your, alhamdulillah, Allah put me in a position to serve. Alhamdulillah, Allah put me in a position to give. And Allah gives a powerful example in this ayah. كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. It's like a person who gives so that people can see him and he doesn't really believe in Allah in the last day. That's a harsh accusation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it? That when you harm people when you give them charity or when you boast about the good that you do, then there is a deficiency in your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day. Why? Because if you really had a strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you would much rather Allah praise you than the people praise you. And if you really believed in the hereafter, then you would go leaps and bounds to make sure that you don't sacrifice the reward of the hereafter in order to gain a petty reward of praise in this world. لا يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is a person كمثل صفوان عليه تراب فأصابه وابل فتركه صلدا. It's like a stone that's covered in dirt or what appears to be fertile soil. But then rain comes and the soil goes away and it leaves it bare. meaning what eventually the ugliness prevails. It looks like fertile ground, but eventually just a small rain, and you know, subhanAllah, rain is water, right? Just a small rain comes. Rain comes and just wipes it all off. And guess what? You're laid exposed and bare. Meaning what? You gave and you did so that people would praise you. But now people are like, man, that guy never is quiet. I don't want to use another, but that person never stays quiet about the good that they've done. We're sick of hearing it from him. Like, I don't even want to go ask him for anything anymore. Just keeps talking about this stuff. The people even despise you. So you didn't get the reward of the hereafter, nor did you get the reward of this world. And Allah exposes your intentions, and Allah exposes your name, and you're left bare. Why are you giving? Why are you fasting? Why are you praying? Why are you doing? Which brings me to a very powerful hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. And you know, subhanAllah, today I was just absolutely fascinated by this hadith. I've given khutbah about this hadith before, but subhanAllah, there's something very profound about this. Rasulullah ﷺ says, وَإِنَّ سُوءَ الْخُلُقِ, that verily bad character, لَا يُفْسِدُ الْعَمَلِ, bad character spoils your good deeds. كَمَا يُفْسِدُ الْخَلَّ الْعَسَلِ, the way that vinegar would spoil honey. The example once again, what bad character does to your good deeds is what vinegar does to honey. Now here's the thing about that hadith. Al-asal, even scientifically speaking, subhanAllah, honey never spoils. In fact, honey can go 1,000 years and it will never spoil. They gather honey from sources and they've been sitting there for thousands of years. Honey never spoils. But the Prophet ﷺ says, the way that bad character would spoil your good deeds is the way that vinegar would spoil honey. And what the Messenger ﷺ is saying is that what bad character has the potential to spoil the unspoilable. What bad character would do to your good deeds, subhanAllah, is what vinegar would do to honey. And you know why he gives that example, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because although honey can't spoil, the one thing you can do to honey is take away its taste. You can't do anything else with its properties. You can only take away its sweetness. And the only thing that would take away its sweetness is something that's vinegar or the like of vinegar. Something to sour it. So it's still there, but instead of being sweet, it becomes sour. And not in a good way. Okay? Instead of being sweet, it becomes sour. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that on the Day of Judgment, you know, talking about this concept, on the Day of Judgment, those good deeds that you did for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that you spoiled with bad character, not only are they not going to benefit you, they'll still be there. Not only are they not going to, you know, disappear, they'll be used against you. Wal-iyadu billah. They actually come back and testify against you. You turned your good deeds into bad deeds. You turned that which was sweet into that which was bitter. And you think about that notion that the Messenger ﷺ is putting forth here. That bad character has the ability to spoil it all. Your khuluq, the way you act when you do good, the way you treat people, it has the ability to ruin it all. On the other hand, the Prophet ﷺ says that with husnul khuluq, a person with good character will be able to ascend amongst darajatul qa'im as-sa'im. On the Day of Judgment, they would find themselves amongst people who used to pray all night and used to fast all day by virtue of their good character. So by virtue of your good character, you would attain the ranks of people that have done amazing deeds. But by virtue, or not by virtue rather, but by punishment of your bad character, you would spoil what's apparently unspoilable. You would ruin the beautiful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to you that are a means of bringing you close to Him. The message of this all, dear brothers and sisters, to summarize all of this entire notion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically telling you, don't mess it up. The number one thing you could do for your spirituality, don't corrupt it. The number one thing you could do for your fasting, for your charity, for your prayer, don't mess it up. The most productive thing you can do in these last 10 nights is to not do anything unproductive. Right? The last thing you want to do with these last 10 nights is to backbite during the night. Where it doesn't matter how much tahajjud you prayed at that point, you would have spoiled it. That's the most productive thing you can do with your time and with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you. Allah appreciates small things with good character, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does away with big things due to bad character. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that وَإِنَّ الشَّابَ يَكُونُ فِيهِ تِسْعَةُ أَخْلَاقٍ حَسَنَةٍ, that a young man might have 9 good characteristics, but 1 bad characteristic, 1 bad attributes, 1 bad attribute and 9 good attributes. And he says radiallahu ta'ala anhu that one good attribute, that one bad attribute would spoil the rest of the 9. It makes all of the 9 go bad. It only takes 1 bitter agent to ruin it all. So the way that we approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, don't mess it up. And it goes perfectly in accordance with the hadith that we talked about last week. Ramadan is here. How bad do you have to be? How bad do you have to mess it up to not be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this Ramadan? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned amongst you. How stingy and bakhil do you have to be to not even say sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because that's a sign of bad character with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's su' adab and khuluq with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your parents reach old age amongst you. How bad would you have to be to hurt them even in that situation and say something disrespectful, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in that hadith? Right? What brings a person to these states, and what brings a person to corrupt all that is good? And you know, subhanAllah, the reason why the hadith fascinated me as well in that regard, in particular how we deal with one another. You know, psychologically, I actually like to read the Living Science blog all the time. And they actually have a paper about how bad memories are etched into our memory as opposed to good memories. We embellish good memories. Right? When we think about good things, we tend to either embellish them or deny them altogether. So if we want to remember them, not only will we remember them, we'll make them more rosy and flowery than they actually were. If we want to forget them, we can forget them in an instant. But bad things, and that's why you have things that are escalated to a level of trauma, we remember them in absolute detail. You remember them accurately. And what we have to be able to do, obviously, is we have to be able to control ourselves to not let the bad things do away with the good things when we're dealing with people. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned it with spouses. Yakfur, innahun yakfur. That verily they disbelieve. They disbelieve in what, ya Rasulullah? Yakfurna bil ashir. They disbelieve when the Prophet ﷺ is talking about husband and wife. They will, you know, and yakfur, when the Prophet ﷺ said they disbelieve, they said, ya Rasulullah, are you saying they become kuffar, they become disbelievers? He says, no. He says, one bad thing happens and your spouse would say, I've never seen anything good from you. We're human beings, that's how we operate. So the Prophet ﷺ said, it's a tendency. You've never done anything good for me. You've never taken me out. It's like, what are you talking about? We went out to a restaurant last week. You've never taken me anywhere, Dad. You've never taken me anywhere, Mom. We were at Disney World 3 months ago. What are you talking about? But as human beings, we tend to, unfortunately, due to something bad or that we perceive as bad, do away with everything. Allah, on the other hand, and this is just the little hope at the end of it all, the light at the end of the tunnel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just ghafoor, in which He covers. Allah azza wa jal is also al-afu. Allah pardons and lets it go. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said the best dua you can be making in these last 10 nights, Allahumma innaka afuwan. تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ فَعْفُ عَنِّي. Oh Allah, you're not just forgiving. You pardon. You let it go. You won't even bring it up. You won't even bring it up on the Day of Judgment. If subhanAllah, you will not even harm the person who disobeyed you by mentioning it to him if he sought forgiveness for it. Not only that, you know, when we forgive sometimes, when we pardon grudgingly. Right? It's like, fine, I'll forget about it. But it's still there. And the minute something else happens, it'll go back. You'll rehash everything bad that happened in the past, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, "Say to Allah subhanahu wa taala, tuhibbul afwa. You actually love to forget it. Allah loves to forget it. Allah azza wa jal doesn't want to put you in that situation on the Day of Judgment. Fa'fu anni, so pardon me and forgive me." What that means is, dear brothers and sisters, in this last week, we have that chance, inshaAllah ta'ala, to put everything that's been done in the past once and for all, correct our character, and don't mess it up. Allah has given you so much, and Allah's mercy is so encompassing. Don't mess it up. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those that are included in His mercy and His favor, and we ask Allah to forgive us for our shortcomings, and we ask Allah to give us good character and to give us sincerity, and to not put, you know, to not put anything within us that would corrupt our good deeds or render them void. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive us when we do those things unknowingly, or when we do them knowingly. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والعاقبة للمتقين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to have mercy upon us and to accept our Ramadan and to accept our Laylatul Qadr. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He allows us to be amongst those who are fortunate to have caught it or will catch it in the next coming nights. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if we sleep through Laylatul Qadr, or that if we ruin it with some foolish talk or silly talk that we should not be speaking about, or if we let it go by with something that's not beneficial to us, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook that and to accept it from us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all the salah that we've done in Ramadan, and outside of Ramadan, that it's all for His sake and no one else. And that if there was any inclination inside of us to come to salah for the sake of people, that Allah Azza wa Jal overlooks that insincerity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our recitation of Qur'an be only for His sake, that our fasting be only for His sake, and that He purify our intentions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that any sadaqah that we've given in this month, any charity we've given in this month or outside of this month, that Allah Azza wa Jal purifies it and accepts it. And that if there is any inkling of any inclination within us to gain the praise of the people, that Allah Azza wa Jal removes that from our hearts and removes that from our action, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it as purely for His sake. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us good character and to allow us to reach a goal that we can aspire for in regards to Husn al-Khuluq, and to allow us to come as close as we can to the perfect character of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to join us with him and with the companions and with those and with his family and with the righteous and the shuhada and the prophets that came before in the highest level of Jannat al-Firdaus. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ighfir lil-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat wal-muslimin wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat. Innaka sami'un qareebun mujibu da'wat. Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa'fu 'anna wa la tu'adhibna. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allahumma innaka 'afuwun kareemun tuhibbul 'afwa fa'fu 'anna. Allahumma innaka 'afuwun kareemun tuhibbul 'afwa fa'fu 'anna. Allahumma ya ilahana ya 'azeem ya 'afuw ya kareem ya ghafur ighfir lana warhamna. Allahumma ya ilahana ya 'azeem ya jabbar ya Allah. We ask you, O Allah, not to make us amongst those who fail to reach your mercy. We ask you, Ya Allah, that we don't be amongst those that find themselves outside of your mercy. And we ask you, O Allah, not to make us from al-mahrumeen, not to make us from those who are deprived. And we ask you, O Allah, to forgive our parents, to forgive our spouses, to forgive our children, to forgive all of us, and to make us amongst the righteous. And we ask you, O Allah, to make it easy for our brothers and sisters all over the world that are struggling this Ramadan and striving. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمة يزد لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقيم الصلاة.